Bhagavatam class is from The Structure of the Universe, 5th Canto. I'm going to read the verses that we read. Very interesting. Outside the ocean of clarified butter is another island known as Kronchat, which has a width of 1.6 million yojanas, twice the width of the ocean of the clarified butter. As Kushadvipa is surrounded by an ocean of clarified butter, Kronchadvipa is surrounded by an ocean of milk as broad as the island itself. On Kronchadvipa there is a great mountain known as Kroncha, from which the island takes its name. Next verse. Although the vegetables living on the slopes of Mount Kroncha were attacked and devastated by the weapons of Kartikeya, the mountain has become fearless because it is always bathed on all sides by the ocean of milk and protected by Varunadev. The ruler of this island was another son of Maharaj Priyavrata. His name was Gritaprishta, and he was a very learned scholar. He also divided his own island amongst his seven sons. After dividing the island into seven parts, named according to the names of his sons, Gritaprishta Maharaj completely retired from family life and took shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord, the soul of all souls, who has all auspicious qualities, thus he attained perfection. Next verse. The sons of Maharaj Gritaprastha were named Ama, Madhuruha, Megaprishta, Shudama, Brajishta, Lohitarna, and Vanaspati. On their island there are seven mountains which indicate the boundaries of the seven tracts of land, and there are also seven rivers. The mountains are named Shukla, Vardamana, Bhojana, Upabarhina, Nanda, Nandana, and Sarvatobara. The rivers are named Abhaya, Amritoka, Arayaka, Tirthavati, Rupavati, Pavitravati, and Shukla. Next verse. The inhabitants of Kronchadvipa are divided into four castes called the Purushas, Rishabhas, Dravinas, and Devakas. Using the waters of those sanctified rivers, they worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead by offering a palm full of water at the lotus feet of Varuna, the demigod who has a form of water. In the short purport, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, Apomaya Asmayam, with joint palms, the inhabitants of various sections of Kronchadvipa offer the sanctified waters of the rivers to a deity made of stone or iron. And they say this mantra, O water of the rivers, you have obtained energy from the Supreme Personality of God, and therefore you purify the three planetary systems known as Bhuloka, Bhuvarloka, and Swarloka by your constitutional nature. You take away sins, and that is why we are touching you. Kindly continue to purify us. And this was the last verse with a little purport, at least on Kronchadvipa. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Bhumira Panalo Vayukamano Vudriva Chahankaritya Mebina Prakriti Rashvata. Earth, water, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego, all together these eight comprise my separate material energies. The energy of the Lord acts through the creation just as heat and light. The energies of the sun act within the universe and make everything work. The specific rivers mentioned in the Shastras are also energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and people who regularly bathe in them are purified. It can actually be seen that many people are cured of diseases simply by bathing in the Ganges. Similarly, the inhabitants of Kronchadvipa purify themselves by bathing in the rivers there. Here, Srimad Bhagavatam is giving us a geography lesson. And everything is there in the Bhagavatam. In fact, Mahapuranas have to deal and discuss that as one of the subject matters, universal structure, atrosarga, vishagasya, snanam, poshanam, bhutaya, manvantar, anurakto, nirvito, mukti, rashraya. These are the ten topics of Srimad Bhagavatam. And one of them is this: how is the universe configured? The Jambudvip is being described, a large series of rings stretching horizontally through the universe, These rings are made up of seven islands and seven oceans, or nine islands, and anyway, like that. And it's very interesting how, of course, it's not something that materialistic people perceive, and because they don't perceive it, they don't believe it, then they write it off as mythology, mythological tales. Just yesterday I was reading an article, anyway, it was about how religious people, or how business people in India were becoming increasingly religious, and the person who was giving his opinion used the same term, that they believe incorporating more and more of Indian mythology into their way of life and business. Anyhow, back to Kronchadweep. And because the premise is that everything that exists, exists, number one, as we see it. In other words, that reality is as we see it. And the other is that with our limited senses, we can see everything of reality. And that's not the case. There are, well, during class I was emphasizing two, but there are other. There are two main criteria which makes us more able to perceive reality, to enter into other realms, as is described in Srimad Bhagavatam. One of them is austerity, and the other one is the purity of heart. And of course, the combination of the two is most proper and most ideal. By austerity, yogis can pantastakoti satavatsara sampragamiyo. They can travel to different planets. They can travel along the pathway of the rivers. The Ganges River goes throughout the universe. So, there used to be this really wonderful lecture. I mean, it used to be, it still exists, it's still on folio, but this wonderful lecture where Prabhupada goes through real detail of the mystic power of yogis and how they travel and take bath on different planets and different parts of the world every day, and they do this by traveling along the rivers. For us ordinary living entities, traveling along the rivers means swimming. And it depends on how far you can swim, and you certainly know even Olympic swimmer can swim from one end of India to the other, for instance, what to speak of from one planet to another. But yogis, by austerity, they have this ability, and so they can travel. Yanti deva pita devan pitrin yanti pitrin buddha. So you can travel to other planets, and of course, easy journey to other planets is about that. So austerity gives us the ability to go to these other places, other planets, and ultimately spiritual vision also does. How Srila Prabhupada writes that when he's flying over the Alps, he saw a golden mountain. He writes that when he's flying in South America, he says that the mountains were so high, he says that he doubted that the scientists were able to really accurately measure the heights of the mountains. So here Srila Prabhupada, by his spiritual vision, sees a different thing. And of course, not only see things differently in the material sphere, but also straight through to the transcendental sphere. We see how Durvasa Muni, as a great yogi, by his austerity, he was able to go to Brahmaloka and Shivaloka, and also he went to the local Vaikuntha planet. They didn't go to the spiritual world Vaikuntha planets, but he went to the local Vaikuntha planet, Svetadvipa. So this is a revolutionary idea, this idea that you got to change your consciousness, and if you change your consciousness, you can see other things, you can go to other places, instead of this foolish and very expensive idea that, for instance, the Russians have, that NASA have, that you have to build these spaceships and go by spaceships to the moon, but you can go to the moon by other ways. You can go to the moon through austerity. In fact, you can't go through the moon by this material means, because the material means doesn't satisfy the qualifications for actually going to the moon. And Prabhupada gives the example of if you want to go to another country. Every country in the world, unfortunately, it wasn't like that all the time, but every country in the world demands that you have a visa to get there, or that at least you have a suitable passport. And you have, that means that you have to qualify to go there. And I remember, not now, but quite a while ago, you know, you go on an airplane, you don't have a suitable visa when you get to, for instance, if we're flying to India, when you go to India and you get there and you don't have a valid visa, or you don't have a visa at all, then they send you back. They would send you back at the expense of the local airline. So now airlines check whether you have a visa before you go, and if you don't, then they don't let you get on the plane. But in those cases, a person would have to go there to arrive in Delhi, and immigration says, sorry, you got to get on the next plane back. So he just sits and waits at the airport. And that's what, for instance, modern man's journey to the moon is about. You're going to the airport, but you're not getting anywhere beyond that, because you don't have a visa. You can't get into the country. They won't let you in unless you have a suitable visa. So our whole business is to actually get a visa to go to Goloka. But here in this case, you can get a visa. You can get a visa through austerity. You can get a visa through spiritual prowess. In Mahabharata, we read how actually the Pandavas went to these places. And in fact, for instance, you read in the Bhagavatam how, I forget his name, that king who rode all the way to Ilavritavarsha. Ilavritavarsha is abode of Lord Shiva. It's Kailash. You can't just sort of walk over there. And yet, that's what this king did. Why? Because he was suitably qualified. So, achieving that type of qualification, this is like a real revolutionary idea in preaching, that yes, you need to develop. Number one, you need to perform austerity, because everyone needs to perform some level of austerity. But austerity, of course, isn't enough. And number two is you've got to purify your consciousness. Hiranyakashipu performed austerity. By his austerity, he became very powerful. But he certainly didn't purify his consciousness. He remained a demon. So purification of consciousness is required. Austerity is also required. And then a whole different world opens up. If they really want to go to the moon, a whole different world opens up. And you don't have to travel great distances. You can just go there more or less from one step to another. It doesn't require that type of physical distance or physical traveling. For instance, the example of our acharyas, how Sanatana Goswami lived in Dwadasa Dityatila. He did parikrama of Govardhan Hill. He did the long, so that's from Dwadasa Dityatila to Govardhan is about 50 kilometers. Going around the long way around Parikrama is another 50, and going back is another 50. That's 150 kilometers a day, and that's not all he did. So we do that how? Because the lotus of Vrindavan opened and closed in order to facilitate his Parikrama, in order to facilitate his vow. So that was Sanatana Goswami by dint of his Krishna consciousness. So there are many such examples. And in preaching, I try to emphasize, particularly to the businessmen, it's something that is sort of very fascinating and interesting thing to them, is to tell them that if they really, they need to correlate austerity, piety, following the laws of nature, in other words, acquiring good karma, if they want to continue and if they want to do the business well. Their present business success, now let's talk about a successful businessman, is as a result of his past pious activities. That's why he's getting some good result. But unless he continues to perform pious activities, he's going to use up his piety and he's going to go broke, he's going to have financial problems. So correlating these two things, namely pious life and well-being, material well-being, that is a very good preaching platform. And if they can understand, if you want to continue, then you can't engage in all kinds of sinful ways and do all kinds of illegal activities. You need to maintain a pious lifestyle, and by maintaining a pious lifestyle, then you can actually maintain your well-being, good business. This is the law of nature. Doesn't matter what you do. This is the law of nature, and that's why there's recessions, and that's why there's depressions, and that's why there's a global economic and financial implosion. And it doesn't matter how many economists come up with their ideas, they're not going to solve it. You have to change your consciousness, and people do have to accept austerity. Nowadays, in our modern world, austerity is looked down upon. Celibacy, any other type of austerity, and so on. People don't. The only austerity that they recommend is study. When studying is an austerity, also studying so that you can exploit others. But no, purification of heart and austerity need to be a part of life if people actually want to see reality, to travel to other places. If they really want to travel to Mars or the Moon or for whatever reason they want to go there, and if they actually want well-being, otherwise it won't work. And Hare Krishna.